is a battle cry heard throughout the land. Over the seas, mountains, valleys, and farms, it was said. Here's Amelia's weekly fish fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. Hey there, I'm Amelia Dalton, and folks, I have heard you loud and clear. Amelia, we want more board design coverage. And yes, I couldn't agree with you more. So, today, my friend Hemet Shaw from Cadence Design Systems is here to bring us the goods on Design True DFM, how it can help you navigate those manufacturing handoff pitfalls, oh fun, and how it can help you find bugs sooner than later. So, without further ado, here's Hemet. Hi, Hemet. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be with you.
Okay, so let's talk about PCB design challenges. Now, how is PCB design checked today before it's handed off to manufacturing? And what are the limitations with this approach?
So, Amelia, today, most people tend to check the design after they've finished the design, hand it off to another group or another person not in the PCB design team.
Right.
That this is a person who's expert and experienced in interfacing with manufacturing. That's why that person's job exists. So it's usually a batch process where the design is handed off, and the person who's checking this design isn't just sitting and twiddling their thumbs, right?
Right.
Waiting for this design to come through. So they have other jobs, other designs to do. Essentially, they put that design in the queue. In the meantime, the PCB designer goes off and works on another job.
Right.
And maybe 2 days later, 3 days later, maybe a week later, the sign-off guy comes back and says, well, I found these 10 or 15 problems. And the PCB designer's now got to go drop whatever work he's doing or she's doing and
right.
then go back and figure out where he left off, find the problems, fix the problems. And the problem is that design is complete. So now any fixing that the PCB designer has to do has to move about a lot of things, not just simple fixes.
Right.
So that takes a lot of time. And if it's not the same tool that's letting you know that you've done it right, you may have introduced some other errors in the process. So they then send it back again and have the iteration again. Now, you know, over a period of time, the PCB design team learns and figures out how to avoid things, but it's all mental.
Sure.
It's not in the tool. So the experience the guy is, the less errors they make, but there's no exhaustive way of knowing, comprehensive way of knowing that the design is going to pass sign off or that they've avoided as many as practically possible to avoid.
Sure.
So that's a batch process today. And it's a very time consuming, very iterative design, validate, fix iterations. So a lot of those kind of iterations happen between PCB designer and handoff engineer.
Okay, so checking for these problems earlier would be helpful, right? Now, that would, of course, shorten the design cycle.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because when the designer creates an error earlier in the design process and he's alerted to the problem, the fix is simpler.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to move lots of other things around, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't jam-packed it, right?
Sure.
And the cure may be that you fix it in a way that avoids many other problems with the rest of the design.
Sure.
So if you, for example, if you chose a via whose whole aspect ratio is not right, you're going to go fix it. And you're going to fix that once, and all the rest of the design process will use that new via and not violate the whole aspect ratio. Similarly, trace aspect ratio. If your trace is too thin, because everybody's now trying to do 4 mil traces, 4 mil gaps, but if you had 2 ounce copper specified on your board, the aspect ratio and trace may not be good for you, may not be manufacturable or may not have good yields, most likely not have good yield on it.
Sure.
And so being alerted to it up front, early on, when the first trace is put on the board is really what you want, rather than laying out the rest of the board with all the traces and then saying, oops, your aspect ratio is not right. Now you got to change the traces, all the trace width all over, right?
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff. Our philosophy is identify the problem as soon as it's created.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it's created.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Design True DFM. So first, tell me a little bit about this. And in this realm, do PCB designers still need to do manufacturing sign-off?
Absolutely, still do.
Sure.
Even with Design True DFM technology, we still recommend that they do it. What we're doing is avoiding the problems, giving the PCB designers the tools to avoid these problems, detect them early on. So Design True DFM technology does that. It's industry's first comprehensive real-time InDesign DFM tech check.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as the person places a component, if the component has pads that are too close to a cutout or the copper is too close to the board edge, we identify it immediately as soon as the component is placed.
Oh.
So moving a component is a lot easier than moving a component after it's all been routed and everything around it is routed and placed in place.
Sure.
So that real-time checks is the key to shortening the design cycle. It's the key to make it a smoother sign-off.
Right.
We do have, we call Allegro manufacturing option that we recommend people to use at the end of the design cycle so that there's a second pair of eyes, so to speak, looking at your design, a different piece of software that's checking it.
Yeah.
And to ensure that the other sign-off things that need to happen at that point in time can happen. Because the Design True DFM technology is intended to identify DFM errors while you're creating the design.
Okay. All right, Hemant, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, say you have one last meal on the planet Earth. You can have whatever food you possibly, your heart's good desire would like. What would it be?
I have to say it'll have to be spicy, tasty Indian food.
Nice. Any particular dish? Is there's one that's your favorite of
yes,
all time?
Yes, it's called Pav Bhaji. It okay. is a poor man's food.
Okay.
Pav means literally means bread. And bhaji means it's a mixed vegetables or mashed together. This is street side food. It's hot. It's tasty. It's absolutely to die for.
Excellent. That sounds wonderful. And it's time for lunch. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Hemant.
Thank you for inviting me.
How many times have you thought, hey, I could really use a handheld multimeter right now, but it needs to be the size of a keychain? Or maybe you've thought, a digital oscilloscope that fits in the palm of my hand would be really awesome right about now. Well, even if you haven't had those thoughts cross your mind, this week's Kickstarter Corner is right up that alley. Let me introduce you to Pocket, the world's smallest integrated multimeter, digital storage oscilloscope, and logger. It can measure anything, anywhere. And yes, it can fit in the palm of your hand. Okay, so what does it measure? We're not talking about a hyper-special measuring tape. Oh no. Pocket can measure, display, and log a wide variety of parameters, including voltage, current, resistance, and temperature. It also provides a continuity and diode checker and is intended for low voltage work up to audio frequencies. So, that's great, I hear you saying. But what can I do with that information? Well, Pocket also wirelessly connects to your smartphone, and in the Pocket app, you can change modes and settings and pinch and drag to pan and zoom waveforms. And the best part? This little dude can fit on your keychain and even has leads that retract at the press of a button. So cool. Okay, fine print time. $49 will get you an early bird special. And of course, it comes with the accompanying app. There are only 500 Pockets available at this price point. So I'd say if you're interested, go ahead and click that link below the player to snatch one up right away. Beyond those first 500 orders, the price point will go up to $69 when it's officially launched on Kickstarter later this month. And then after that, production orders will be going up to $89 per Pocket. So, pretty cheap overall. You could probably fit this into an expense report rather easily. I'm just saying. And yes, if you were wondering, this is a bit of a scoop. Pocket is scheduled to launch on Kickstarter later this month. So if you show up at the office before the Kickstarter campaign launches with this bad boy in your pocket, you could be the coolest kid on the block or the cube bro. Anyway, if you want to check out Pocket for yourself, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com that will take you right there. And yes, you can order one from me as well. We all know that choosing the right capacitors can make a huge difference in the reliability, longevity, cost, and board size of your design. But most engineers, me included, don't know which capacitors to choose for which applications. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled, "What Are Aluminum Polymer Capacitors?" I'm talking about this very thing. I sit down with James Lewis from Kemet and talk about the fascinating and surprising world of capacitor technology. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com, by clicking the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to YouTube, keyword, EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 17th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.